We had our introduction to our new study on spiritual disciplines. Over the next several weeks, we are going to be unpacking several disciplines that a follower of Jesus Christ should be practicing. Tonight, we're going to be focusing on the first discipline, and that is the discipline of Bible reading. There are many ways that we can approach a study to the Word of God. We can consider inspiration. We can consider inerrancy, authority, sufficiency, so on and so forth. But as part of our study tonight, we are going to be addressing the Bible as it relates directly to our individual lives as Christians. The question we are addressing is not, is it true, but how is it benefiting us as believers? Oftentimes when I'm counseling another believer, one of the first questions I try to unpack as I'm talking to them is, I want to find out what their disciplines and habits are when it comes to their personal Bible study are. It can often give us a lot of insight into the way they think about the Word of God, how they personally handle the Word of God, how they are interpreting it, and how often they are actually opening up the Word of God. One of the most common things that I hear, one of the most common objections is people tell me that I just don't have the time. I can't consistently be in the Word. It's one of the most common things that comes up as an excuse as to why they're struggling with a certain problem. So I'd like for you guys to share with me what are some common reasons why it may be difficult to spend time in the Word of God. You might be speaking from personal experience or things that you have heard. Why would it be difficult to be spending time in the Word of God, finding that time?
Just plain lazy.
Laziness, okay. That's always on the table, okay. Common objections, yes.
Where do you even start?
Okay, not having a plan. Where do we begin? Okay, anything else?
Distractions.
Thing. There's always something coming up. There's always something unexpected that arises, correct?
Depending on what you're reading, it can be hard.
Difficult. Understanding. Absolutely. Understanding the Word of God. Now, flip side of that, what are some common ways that you have been able to overcome maybe some of those objections? What are some things that you have put into practice to be consistent in your own personal Bible study time? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Nike. Just do it. Wonderful. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sometimes that first step is the hardest step when it comes to any sort of plan, any sort of discipline that we might have. So we discuss time of the day. Having a consistent place that you have set aside, this is where I'm going to go to open up the Word of God. This is where I'm going to go to study. We talked about, Greg mentioned, just understanding. Things like commentaries, study guides, sound biblical devotion, something that you can use as a complementary tool when you're opening up the Word of God. I remember when I was in Bible college at Northland, as a freshman, we were required to wake up every day and go to a specific room and have our devotions. I remember as a freshman sitting in orientation and them talking about this, and I thought it was a joke. I did not think it was serious. I thought it was, oh, freshman hazing. But they were absolutely serious about this rule. We would have to show up fully dressed. So every day we had chapel, we had to wear a tie, had to be clean shaven, had the slacks on, the shoes, hair combed and everything. We would have a designated room. We would have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we would go in there and we would sign our name the time we arrived. And we would not leave until the bell rang at 7:45. If you showed up late or you did not show up at all, you would get demerits. So this was something they took very seriously. And once again, at first thought, I just thought, like, this is the most legalistic thing I can think of. Like, how dare you, a Bible college, make me, somebody who wants to be in full-time ministry one day and studying a specific Bible degree, how dare you make this a rule, make me wake up every day to go read my Bible? There was that huge disconnect that this is a personal thing. You know, this is a personal thing to me. How dare you interfere with that? When the Word of God is filled with commandments to us about spending time in His Word. And as we would get up and we would go to devotions, as you could imagine, there was people that would show up. I remember guys would come and they would sign in and they would literally go and lay down in the back of the room on the floor. And 10 minutes later, you hear them snoring. There was guys that would show up, sign in, sit down at a desk or a table, open up their laptop, opening up a textbook, trying to study for a class that day, maybe an assignment they didn't finish the night before. Then there was guys who would show up, sign their name, and literally just walk out the door. You know, it was an honor system, that sort of thing. The school was trying to establish a discipline in our lives, and a very important one at that. I remember, again, having just the worst attitude when it came to this until God really kind of broke me of that and showed me, you know, the error of my ways, my thoughts, and that time really became one of the most beneficial things to me as an 18, 19-year-old studying the Word of God. I grew up my whole life playing sports. I grew up multiple sports, not just one. Some of the fondest memories I have are from being young, organized sports, played in high school, multiple state championship teams across several different sports, All-state, all-conference, MVP awards, that sorts of thing. Now, that was over 10 years ago and about 100 pounds less ago. But I absolutely loved sports, and I did everything I could to be successful at that individual sport. I was weird to where I loved to practice. I understood very clearly how practice was going to help me improve in that sport, how this was going to be my time to understand the game better, to really set myself apart from my opponent. And there was those guys that would show up that did not really care too much, and it would reflect come game time. They either did not get to play at all, or if they did get to play, they would not be very beneficial to the team at all. So when it came to sports and something that was very important in my life, it made total sense that discipline and consistency go hand in hand with being successful. Yet in our own lives, let's substitute sports for Bible reading. Let's substitute it for learning an instrument, for perfecting a hobby, being successful at work. Whatever it may be, it makes complete sense to us that to be successful, you need to have discipline. You need to have consistency. And even when you do not feel like it, you need to do it. I don't feel like going and getting up for work every day. Okay, I don't feel like loving my wife all the time, like being super engaged with my kids all the time. I get lazy. I get distracted. I get things that come to my mind that just completely I'd rather focus on. So we understand not to be guided by those things, by emotions and what comes, but to be guided by what we know is true. We oftentimes, we think we're good enough. We think we don't really need to improve. You know, maybe we have all the answers already. We've peaked. You know, hey, I've been doing this Christian thing for 30 years now. Where can I really go from here? And yet we understand, once again, in other areas of life, you know, if you want to be the best, you never can be satisfied with where you currently are. Now, practically speaking, what are some ways we can benefit and grow from being in the Word? If you're taking notes tonight, our first point tonight is to grow as a Christian, you must eat the Word. And since we're talking about the Word, let's go ahead and open up the Word. I have several passages here that I'd like you to help me with reading. So if I could have somebody read Job 23:12. Job 23:12. And then if somebody can look up Matthew 4:4. If I could get somebody to look up 1 Peter 2:2, 1 Corinthians 3:1-2, and then I'll read the last passage, Hebrews 5:11-14. So who has Job 23:12? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Deuteronomy 8:3. Who has that? Deuteronomy 8:3. Somebody can look that one up. If you have it, go ahead and start reading it. Okay. 1 Peter 2:2.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby.
All right. 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. I hope you're starting to see a pattern here. And I'll be reading Hebrews 5:11-14. About this time we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I have a 5-month-old daughter at home, and when she is hungry, when she craves food, she makes it very well known to my wife and I. And if I hear her crying and I know, oh, that's, she's hungry, it's that time of the day again, if I were to go over and take a piping hot, juicy sirloin steak over to here and say, dinner is ready, that would not be very beneficial to her at all. Now, that steak would be very beneficial to my soul, a delicious, delicious thing to my soul, but it would not nurture her in any way at all. She is young. I am older. She can only handle the milk from her mother, just like we often as younger Christians. We would not expect them to handle the Word of God, to know the Word of God as somebody who just stepped out of seminary or somebody who has been pastoring a church or been in the Word consistently for decades. Okay, so we see here from the Word of God how he beautifully illustrates these different stages of our lives, how we as maturing Christians need to be progressing in our partaking of the Word of God. Now, some of us, I know myself included, can probably afford to skip a meal or two physically, but we cannot afford to go a day without being in the Word. So what happens to us when we physically do not eat? What can happen to us? Get weak. Okay. I get irritable. Okay. Anything affects your memory? Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anything else? What can happen to us physically if we go, let's say, 2 or 3 days without eating? What does that look like? How about a week? 2 weeks? Imagine a soldier who is preparing to go into battle. If he has not eaten for several days, do you think he's going to be very effective in that battle? The answer is obvious that he is not going to be. And yet, when it comes to our own lives, we think we can survive spiritually in our daily battles from that spiritual meal we had a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I had that big meal on Sunday. I'm good for several days. So when it comes to growing as a Christian in the Word, we need to be eating it, devouring it, partaking of the Word. The second way we can grow personally when it comes to the Word of God is we must digest the Word. Now, it's good to read the Bible, but we need more than just reading. It's absolutely possible for us to read several pages of a book and not remember a thing we read, to not understand a thing. Going back to college, common thing with me. I had several elective classes that just right over my head. I had no idea what they were really talking about, didn't pay too much attention, but I did the assignment. I read what was required of me. So we need to think about when we are opening up the Word of God, what the Bible calls meditation. Meditation. If someone can look up Psalm 1, 1 through 2, and then someone Psalm 119, 97, and 99. Psalm 1, 1 through 2, if you have it, go ahead and read. Meditating day and night on the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, 97, and 99, if you have that. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Imagine a starving man walking through a grocery store, malnourished, about to breathe his last breath, and he's walking through that grocery store starving, and there is aisles upon aisles of food surrounding him. Would he be nourished from being in that store? Would he be satisfied? Would he be fulfilled from being surrounded by all this food? Of course not, not unless he is actually eating and digesting something. Looking at food will not nourish you. Even smelling, even tasting food is not going to do you any good. You need to eat it, digest it, fully absorb all of its nutrients. Now, what are some practical ways we as believers can digest the Word of God? Give me some feedback. What are some practical ways that we can digest the Word of God? Maybe think a little bit outside the box, not just reading the Word. I love it. So being very intentional when you're reading, taking your time, paying attention to what it is saying, the context of the verse. Anything else? Memorization. It's a perfect. That's a very common one. Yes. Absolutely, having those iron sharpening iron type conversations. Absolutely.
Personalizing it.
Okay, so not just, hey, these are a bunch of stories about people who lived millennia ago, but how does this apply to me personally? Putting yourself in the scriptures, that's a very, very good one. Yes. Beautiful. There you go. That's one of probably the most common ways that I am able to on a regular basis digest the Word of God is singing it. Not only just making up a song, but there are so many countless hymns and songs out there that speak wonderful truths that we find in the Word of God. And I often find myself singing one of these throughout a couple weeks, stuck in your head. But it is so nourishing to my soul, the words that are in that song. Just taking the time, songs that I've probably sung 500 plus times in my life, and then literally said, what is this saying? You know, how can I relate to this? How can I apply this? And it really kind of opens your eyes to those type of things. We talked about memorizing the Word of God. The Bible talks about when we memorize the Word of God, hide it in your heart, those sorts of things to prevent yourself from temptation. Now, memorizing Scripture for me did not always come very easy at all. I was the kid in Awana who had no crowns, no jewels. I had the sad little white stitch outline of where they were supposed to go, but nothing was ever there. And I envy people and marvel at them, like my wife or other people who perform and on stage, and how they can just memorize line after line and paragraphs of dialogue. And I'm the guy off to the side who's taping my lines to the back of a stage prop, or somebody's off stage with a cue sign feeding lines to me. So memorizing the Word of God, very common way we can regularly and actively digest His Word. There's an issue I see oftentimes when counseling someone, and this is usually someone who is a professing Christian, and they can easily give me their testimony, and they can talk about the Word of God, but there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between knowing the Word of God and actually applying and living the Word of God. We can know biblical truths, we can know verses by heart, and yet if we are not digesting these things, meditating upon them, in these truths, putting them into practice in our daily lives, we are going to fail consistently. Now, this idea of digesting, and it goes directly back to that word meditation. And when it's mentioned in the Old Testament, the original meaning of the word literally means to moan and to mutter. It's the idea of someone thinking about something over and over again. And, you know, we think of the, you know, pondering and scratching your chin, maybe speaking to yourself and trying to work out a problem in your head. That's the original context of this word. It means we're not just reading the Bible, but we are slowing down. As Mr. Ton said, we're absorbing it. What does it mean? How does it apply to our life? In regards to that concept of meditation, how does it relate, or how does it compare to what the world often describes meditation as nowadays? Maybe think when it comes to influences from Eastern religions and those sorts of things. Are they the same when the world talks about meditation and when the Word of God talks about meditation? How are they different? Okay. So focusing in on yourself, inward meditation. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's not truth. The basis is off. Anything else? Any other thoughts? Yes? Hmm. Absolutely. The pagan idea of meditation is emptying oneself, being clear. You know, when the Word of God is very, very adamant and clear about relying on ourselves and our own way of thinking and our own way of doing things, how our heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. So meditation for a believer is completely different from what society and other religions interpret it as. So how is the Bible different from reading any other book? Why is the Bible important? It's living and alive. Mm-hmm. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing. Mm-hmm. It's God-breathed. Absolutely, it's inspired. You know, people talk about how, oh, a novel, a work, something, that book changed my life. Did it have an internal change? Of course not. There's only one book that can do something like that. Now, what is, share with me, what is the ultimate goal of daily being in the Word of God? What should our ultimate goal be? Why do we even do this?
To become more like the Lord.
To become more like the Lord? Okay. To know God better, not just know of Him, but to know Him. Mm-hmm. Yep, same. Okay. Absolutely. Say that again. Absolutely. That's how He communicates with us. We have this book here it is an insight complete to what God has for us and wills for us in our lives. What we have today is so far greater than what the Old Testament prophets had in their day. So as we've been discussing tonight, I think it's been pretty obvious. You all have a pretty good grasp on why it is important to be in the Word of God, the importance of meditating on these things. These are all things that should be not new to us as believers, things that we've probably heard many times before, but it is an important reminder. There's nothing on this earth, no other book, no manuscript, no work of art that can come close to comparing to the Word of God. There are countless souls throughout history and people to this day who have literally lost their lives because they believe what this book says. And yet we are so flippant and easy to just push it aside. I'll get to it when I get to it. If I have time, it's not really that important. Being in the Word consistently and properly handling and applying it to our lives is the foundational way we as believers can discipline ourselves towards godliness. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to, first and foremost, thank you for your word. And forgive us, God, for being so, what seems ungrateful at times, and not making it a priority in our lives. Thinking that we have it all figured out. We've heard the truth before. We've heard the stories. We already know all the right answers, God. And I ask that you would forgive us for that sin and for that attitude. Give us the strength, dear Lord, to understand your word, to rightly apply it to our lives, to not take things out of context and bend them to what we want them to say, but to be true to its meaning and what you would have for us, that we would be transformed by your Holy Spirit through your word, God, that we would allow it to penetrate our lives. God, we thank you for this time that we have to come together in a country that gives us the freedom to open up your word. We know there are many out there who do not have that freedom, dear Lord, or there are laws in place that restrict their access to your word, and help us to never take something like that for granted here. Be with the other ministries tonight on the hill, that your name be glorified and lifted up. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.